See, God loves you. There are no qualifications. There are no conditions. There is no, as long as you don't do this policy, He loves you even while you wait, even while you mess up, even while you make mistakes. The Clee County needs to see the church stand up and be the church and start leading people to Jesus, because Jesus brings life.
Welcome back to the LifePoint Podcast. Today we continue in our series, The Next Level. With the message, Promises, Promises, here is Pastor Kelly Rhodes.
Hey, how's everybody doing today? Doing all right? Who has noticed how that there's this like bright, shiny thing in the sky? Anybody else? I got my first sunglasses tan line yesterday. Look good. I mean, it looks awesome to me, but anyway. Hey, how many of you guys know what today is? Today is St. Patrick's Day, and I know what you're thinking. Kelly, where's your green? Well, I'm wearing it. You just can't see it. Get your mind out of the gutter. I got new socks. Look at those things. Hey, I'm glad you're here today. We are in a new series called The Next Level. It's all about taking our faith to another place. It's about growing in our faith, and I believe that God has big things. I'm glad that you're here for that. Real quick, you know, John kind of talked about it real quickly. Some of you might have missed this, so I want to hit this again. April 7th is a big, big day for our church. Not only are we celebrating 9 years as a church on that day, that's a huge thing. Come on, give it up. That's worthy of celebration. But also on that day, we're having a big give day where we're asking people to bring in big gifts above their tithe, above and beyond that. And so we're just asking you to prayerfully consider what God's doing there. But also that day, we have Jay Pike, who's a representative from Kingsgate College, who we have an affiliation with. We've created a pathway so that if you feel like God may be calling you in ministry, and when you hear me say this, understand, this isn't just for kids that are coming out of high school. If you feel like God's calling you into ministry, here's an avenue to get a fully accredited degree with this. It's a real bachelor's degree when you finish it, if you finish it. And you could take that degree and go on pursue a master's anywhere, any school in the country. It's a fully accredited degree. It's a pretty amazing opportunity. And it costs a third of what my degree cost whenever I went to school years ago. And so it's a tremendous opportunity. Some of you parents want to have questions about this. You got to be here that day. We're going to have a luncheon so we can get those questions answered. But this is a tremendous opportunity. It's kind of a step of faith that we're taking as a church, believing that God wants us to continue to grow towards that 10,000, to plant more churches, to help more congregations know the love of Jesus Christ. And so this is part of the step of faith we're taking as a church. We would like you to come check that out if that's something God is putting on your heart. So let's jump into this. The next level. God is calling each of us for the next level. See, God designed us for the next level. You were created to pursue Him, to let your faith go to a deeper and a deeper place. In fact, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says this, that without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. See, faith is something that God wants us to continue to grow in. It's not just like you have faith. You can have faith, but you grow in faith as well. It's part of the process. It's part of what God's hardwired into us. We need to believe that God exists. And some of you may be here today, so you're going to be listening in some form or fashion. You struggle to know, does God really exist? Is He really there? Does He really care if I pray to Him? Sometimes we wrestle and deal with those kinds of questions. And I'm here to tell you that yes, He does exist. Yes, He does love you. Yes, He does care about what's going on in your life, and you're not here by accident this morning. You're not watching by accident. God has this message in your ear for a reason. It's because He wants you to take your faith to a deeper, deeper place. He designed us to be in pursuit of Him. And that's something that's within each of us. It's not just in some of us. It's within each of us. In fact, the Bible tells us that we were created for His pleasure. It says that we were created for His glory. That's why we're here. God created us so we can know Him and have a relationship with Him. And so I hope that through this series, as we're calling you to take deeper and deeper steps of faith, that you do that. God has given us this story we're looking at in the life of Abraham, as He has given Abraham promise after promise. But to kind of get us just where we need to be so we can take off with this message today. Last week, we talked about how Abram was this young man. He had grew up in this house of a man named Terah. And Terah was this massively wealthy, highly influential, very, very powerful figure of his day. Not only did Terah own lots of flocks of sheep and goats, Terah was also an idol maker. So he crafted idols that people would worship out of precious metals and stone and wood. And so they would come to him. So not only did he have this massive stream of income in the agricultural production, which was the number one deal of the day, he was also this idol maker. So he had all this massive influence. He had this massive wealth. And yet he wasn't a follower of God by any means. He was an idol worshiper. In fact, in Abram's time, there was no Ten Commandments. There was no temple for this type of worship. It was, but God was still speaking. And the rabbis teach us that God was working in Terah's life to call him from the land that he came up in, this place that's called Ur of the Chaldees. He's called him to this place called Canaan land. Canaan land in scripture is the land of God's great promise. It's the land of blessing. It's the place that God had always called the Israelites to. It's the land that he wanted them to possess. But to get where they were going to go, they had to leave where they had been. And so Terah, who did not even know God, was pulled by the stirring of God in his life. And some of you are like that today. You have not made a decision for Christ, or maybe it's been a while since you've had a relationship with Christ. But God has called you. He's stirred you. He's moving you to take you to a new place in your life, a new place in your faith. Terah was over here in this land of Ur, this place where his wealth had grown, where his influence had blossomed, and God put it on his heart to go towards the land of Cana, and he began the pursuit of that land, but then he got to this place and he got stuck. He got stuck in a place that's called Haran, and it's named Haran because that's where Terah's oldest son, Haran, died. So he was in pursuit of God's promise, but then he had this massive issue where he faced this terrible loss where his expectations became horrendously disappointed. And instead of pursuing where he knew he was supposed to go, he stayed stuck where he ended up. And Terah passed away there. He never left Haran. He never got unstuck. He never made it to Canaan land. But the Bible tells us God had been working in Abram's life even before that time. And so here he was, his father has passed away, Abram being the oldest son, the surviving son, he was given this call even within his name to be a father. He knows that God has greater things for him. God has already spoke to him about pursuing Canaan land. His father passes away at the end of chapter 11, at the beginning of chapter 12, the great promise of God comes in where he promises that he will give him blessing upon blessing, that he'll make him a father of many nations, that he will be a blessing to the world. And this speaks to exactly who Abram knew that he was called to be. But he couldn't stay in Haran to get that blessing. He had to leave Haran and pursue Canaan. So the moment that God spoke to him, Abraham left like a bat out of Haran to pursue Canaan, God's promise. And that's where he was. He was in this place. The Bible says he was 75 when God spoke to him at the end of chapter 11. And here we find ourselves, we're going to jump to Genesis 17. And this is what it says in Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. He was 99 now. He's in Canaan land. He's in the land of great promise. He was 75 when he left Haran, and he went directly from Haran to Canaan land. He left the place where he was stuck in faith to the place where he was to be blessed in faith, but in 24 years, he had not received the fullness of that blessing yet. See, God had called him, you'll be a father to many nations, and yet he did not yet have a son with his wife, the wife of his first love of his heart, Sarah. They had not had a child. 24 years of waiting, from 75 to 99, 24 years of waiting. That's a long time. That's like you're waiting, graduated from high school, went to college, got a master's degree, and has a baby on the way. That's a long, long time to wait. And that's how long Abram had been waiting. And in that 24 years, in that long span of time, Abram went through some stuff. Anybody else ever gone through some stuff? Abram went through some stuff. There were some challenges. I mean, when they first left, I mean, Abram had been blessed. In fact, he got to the place his nephew Lot went with him. They went in pursuit of God's great things together. But they'd been blessed so greatly that their flocks grew and they multiplied in this powerful way. I mean, they were so wealthy. They were so blessed that there wasn't enough grass and there wasn't enough water. So they had to make a decision to split and occupy different territories, which goes to show you that they've had problems with grass and water and drinking for a long time. I mean, that's biblical. And so we look at this, and so they had to split. But then when they split, so they could have greater blessing, Lot got in trouble. Lot actually got captured. And so Abram had to take his people. The Bible tells us, and this is amazing if you think about this, one man was so blessed, he had grown so much that one man had enough people to go on and take on the kingdom that had taken his cousin captive. One man went and fought this battle. One man had enough people under him to go and wage war and win. Now, God was on his side, but one man did this powerful thing. He had been given such great blessing. He had grown his tribe so much that he could take on nations and then plunder them. And then Abram gave some of that back. We're going to visit this in the next couple of weeks. It's the first time the tithe is mentioned in Scripture. And so they left, and he pursued God in this way, and he went, and all these things began to happen. And then Abram did this other thing. He had been waiting, and the child hadn't come. And so Sarai had been waiting, and her blessing was attached to his blessing. And so they had a conversation. They thought, hey, why don't we have a child through someone else? And so Abram actually got another woman pregnant, and he wasn't married to her, which, by the way, is not a recipe to solve your marriage problems. See, Abram waited and waited, and the blessing wasn't coming. And in the middle of all this waiting, all this stuff happened. Some of it was good stuff. Some of it was bad stuff. Some of it was so dumb. The only word we can say in public to describe it is stupid. It was that kind of dumb. What happens while we wait? The thing I want you to see when we talk about this waiting is, we look at his life and Abram messed up. Abraham made mistakes. But the one thing I want to see more than his failure is God's faithfulness. Because God was with him through all of that. Just because God's with you doesn't mean he approves of what you do. Understand this. Sin is serious to God. If sin was not serious, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. Sin is so serious, God sent Jesus to die for our sin to pay the price. Sin is serious. Just because God is with you doesn't mean he condones every action you make or thought that crosses your mind. No. But here's what I want you to get. I don't want you to focus on Abraham's on imperfection. I want you to focus on God's faithfulness. Because you have to understand that God is not just running out the back door because you did something wrong. God is not waiting to zap you or to get you when you mess up. God is not, and this one messed with me for a long time. God is not expecting you to be perfect. In fact, that's why we say this here all the time. There are no perfect people allowed. And if you're perfect, I'm so sorry that you came. You clearly don't need to be here. Here's what I understand. When I understand how much I need God, I feel myself drawing closer to God. And the minute my pride comes in and tells me how good I am and how much I don't need him, the distance begins to increase. That's why perfect people aren't allowed in this church. Because I want a church where people need to know Jesus. I want a church where people need to have an encounter with God. I don't need a church where people think they're God already. Amen? I want a church where people are desperate for the grace of God in their lives. You cannot sing Amazing Grace until you know how bad off you really are. See, God loves you. There are no qualifications. There are no conditions. There is no, as long as you don't do this policy, he loves you even while you wait, even while you mess up, even while you make mistakes. God is with you. He never forgets you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's bigger than that. When the Bible talks about this, and I know I'm going to mess with somebody's theology this morning, that's okay. That's part of my job. I'm glad I get to do it. Sometimes we get so stuck on the way we perform and the things we do in life, and we miss who God is. I was a captive to the pursuit of perfection in my own walk for so long, and I thought, how can God save me if I can't live this way? And the reality is you can't live this way until God saves you. I was getting saved every week. But I've been saved all along. Because he never ran out. See, he doesn't turn his back on us even when we turn our back on him. He is the God who stands with arms open wide, welcoming every prodigal home. Yes, you can walk away, but he never turns his back on you. And here's why. Because he's bigger than we think that he is. And I have some proof in a very tiny word, a word that we might see as insignificant, but a word that carries tremendous meaning and powerful weight for us. And it's this word, it's in. I want you to say it with me, say in. Yeah. All right, you can do better than that. Come on, you got to do this with me because you're about to do it a few times with me as we read some scripture. I want you to say in. Say it with me, in. Very good. That's the people who slept in this morning. In, that's good. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When you see this on the screen, I want you to say it with me because I want you to understand what God is trying to say through his word to your heart. Listen to this. It says this. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. That is such a big deal, guys. He made him who knew no sin to be sin so that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. He's speaking of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that God would do something that we could not do so that we could not be lost by him. That's a powerful statement. In him. Let's look at this one. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if we're in Christ Jesus, we are not what we once were. We are now in him. And so there's no condemnation. Although that we were sinners, now we're in him. So we are righteous in Christ. And so that condemnation that was thrown at us, as we stand before the Lord, we stand covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, sacrificed for the forgiveness of our sins. And so when Jesus sees us, he doesn't see liars. He doesn't see cheats. He doesn't see murderers. He doesn't see scoundrels. He doesn't see gossips. He doesn't see people who should have probably not ate so much chocolate cake. He sees the blood of Jesus, and we are in him, and there's no condemnation. That's powerful. Look at this Galatians 3. It's a powerful thing, and it's going to sneak up on you. Be careful. It says, for, I told you it's going to sneak up on you. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. See, some of you this morning, you did not know you were in the in crowd. You spent your whole life wishing you could be in the in crowd. You spent a fortune dressing and putting things together so you could be in. You didn't know you were already in. You are in Christ Jesus. What a powerful thing to be. And you know what? It's not a location. It's a state of being. We are in him. You are in because Jesus put you in and you stay in even when you do some of the things that would get you kicked out everywhere else. And this is the lesson we need to learn. Do you know what happens while we wait? We learn to trust in God. This God who never leaves us, who loves us so much that he places us in him so we could never be misplaced. So that when we're ready, when the time is right, the blessing isn't lost upon us. The God who even when we blow it, corrects us, guides us, and he steers us. He even redeems our failures. The God who does not and will not turn his back on you. He keeps his arms open even as we walk away. This is who our God is. Why does he do that? What's the point to all that waiting? To all that walking with us through all that stuff that life throws our way? It is so that we can know God, not only for what he is capable of, but for what he has already done and for who he is, which is what makes this next thing so powerful for us to look at. Genesis 17:1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am. Now let's just pause for a second because this is kind of a big deal. When God stops and he says, I am, he's giving us a revelation of who he is. Understand this, that the other gods that existed in the world in that day, the other gods that exist in this world today, they don't reveal who they are. God loves us enough to confront us and express to us who he is. He says, I am. Now, this is not the first time that God began to reveal his nature of who he was, but it is the first time he begins to use a title that is attached to his character in such a way. In Genesis 15, he says, I am the Lord. And we read the Lord, it's a powerful phrase. It's a phrase that says, I am the one who has all power and authority. I can do all things. I am the Lord, which is exactly who you would think he would be if he's God. Well, the interesting thing about Abram was God doesn't reveal that until chapter 15, but he was called to leave Haran in chapter 12. And Abram, who did not know his name, did not know how to address him, heard from him, and he immediately went. That's the power of faith that Abram's life existed in. And that's amazing. Here, God is revealing even more. He says, I am El Shaddai, which is translated in many of your Bibles as God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I guarantee to give you countless descendants. He had called himself Lord so that Abram would know what he could do. And now he is calling himself El Shaddai so that Abram could know who he was. The Lord is this title that tells you about the power and authority of God. It's what we would expect God to be. And the reason why he wants us to know these things, the reason why he reveals these things to us is because God wants us to have a walk with him, to have a relationship with him, to know him. Jesus said this in John 17. Jesus is praying. Jesus is not teaching the disciples at this point. Jesus is having conversation with God himself. And in John 17, we read this thing that where Jesus speaks to a powerful thing that we all need to learn. It says this, and this is the way to have eternal life. Notice it's an exclusive statement. It doesn't say it is a way. It doesn't say this is one of the options. This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. This word know, I mean, it's more than the accumulation of facts in our minds. It is intimate. It is deep. It is to know things about them. It is to have a such a mingling of the souls. It is a true and deep intimacy. It's not just being able to spout facts. It's about getting really down and deep, be rooted in that relationship. My wife and I, we've been married for almost 19 years. When we're at a party or in a gathering and it's time to go, we don't have to have that conversation. I can look at my wife and I will know we should have left 15 minutes ago. She can look at me and know we probably should never went in the first place. We don't have to say those things because we know each other. And God wants us to know him at that kind of deep level. We spent 19 years of our married life together and a couple years before that just allowing our hearts and minds and our souls to meld. And God is saying, I want you to know me. This is how you have eternal life. This is how you get the greatest blessings is to know God. And God wants that for you. And for many of us, that's exactly that next level of faith step you need to take. We've existed here for a while where we've thought about some things. We have some ideas about the way things may be. We've existed at this level of faith, but God wants you to take that step And some of us have. We've taken that first step of faith and we begin to talk to God in salvation, and our lives have been changed because we know Him and we know that our eternal destiny has changed. But God is calling us to another level. A life of deeper service, more passionate, more meaningful service. And then once we kind of live here for a minute, God is calling us to a deeper level. Why? Because He wants to know all of you and He wants you to know all of Him. It's a life where we continue to pursue Him. Philippians 1:6 tells us that He will finish what He starts. He will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus' return. He's going to continue to work things out in us because He wants us to know Him. He wants to know us. He says, Abram, I'm Lord, God of all authority and God of all power. But I want you to know that's not all I am. I'm also El Shaddai. Now, for many of us who grew up in the age that I grew up in, when you hear the word El Shaddai, you think of the 1982 Amy Grant song. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Some other words that I won't try. That's what you think of. And most of the time it's translated God Almighty, but and that is still accurate, but there's something deeper. And sometimes when we want to know more deeply about what God is saying, we really kind of need to dig into that original language a little bit more. Because God had already told Abram, I'm the Lord. I've got this power, this authority. I can do all these things. But now He says, after 24 years of waiting, after a time when Abram's faith is clearly depleted, He wants him to know something deeper about who he is. He says, I am El Shaddai. And we get into this text. You begin to see these many names for God, that they have unique meaning. The word Shad is a close grammatical connection to Shaddai, and the word means breast. And then when you add an A or an AI or an I to the end of a word, it's a possessive. And so a literal definition would be that God is my breasts. In Scripture, and we have to get this, in Scripture as well as in nature, the breast is one of the key symbols to the sustenance that's necessary to live. The sustenance that's passed on from parent to child. God is the parent, the creator of all humanity. We are His children. If you have grown up on a farm, you've raised animals, or even if you've been in the medical field, you know this, that first few days, the first feeding, it's you get your colostrum. And without that colostrum, you don't have an immune system. In fact, you know that whenever any kind of animal, or even a human, when they don't get that, outside the medical field doing miraculous things, chances of survival go way, way down. But if that connection is made and it's healthy, that child not only receives the physical sustenance they need, they have an emotional, relational connection to the mother. That unless they have that, it's impossible for them to grow up and be healthy long term. So instead of seeing this as El Shaddai, God sufficient, or Almighty, but it's El Shaddai, God who is all sufficient, who meets all of our needs, who leads us into the thriving way of living. Here is God calling Abram, reminding him, I have all the power and all the authority, and I will meet all your needs. I will love you like a mother. I will protect you like a father. And He's calling him to live in response to that. He's calling him to that next level of their relationship. He's calling them to that deeper level of faith. He takes time, in all of this, He takes time to tell him about something He had already proven about Himself, but had not yet revealed. Abram, you remember when you left Haran? You left everything behind, and I provided you flocks. You had to find a whole new region to feed them, and I led you there through safe passage. Remember when your family got in trouble? I was there to lead you to victory so you could bring them home. I am the God of endless power and the God who wants to draw you close. And I find this also interesting because why does God need to remind us who He is? Why is that something He takes time to do? It's so that we trust Him, so that we can know Him. Because we were created with relationship in mind. And trust is that foundation. Ronald Reagan said, trust, but verify. God's saying, trust me. Let me show you who I've been so you know who I'll also continue to be. God had already been with him for 24 years of waiting. In good times and in bad, God had been faithful. He had been gracious. He had provided. He showed him who he was. And then he told him who he was. I am the God who is strong enough to bring you through and compassionate enough to care for you when you fall. I'm the God who can do all things and the God who will draw you close to comfort you when you fear. I'm the God who has called you and given you promise. I've delivered more than you've already or ever already dreamed of, and I am going to bring more to you. I am the God who is reminding you that what I said I will do, even though you went and messed things up. So let me ask you the question, if this is who God is, if this is who we have experienced God being in our own lives, since He's calling us to take a step of faith, then if this is who God is, then what kind of step should we take? If this is who God is, what kind of step should we take? So that's what this series is all about. It's about taking each of us, no matter where we may be on this journey of faith and calling us to another level of living, about taking that next step. See, God designed us for the next level. He wants us to grow. He wants you to experience and walk with Him on a deeper level. His plan for your life is to keep you, to abide in you, and for you to abide in Him, to know Him and to trust Him, and to let these things be demonstrated by the way that you live your life. This is not something you can keep on the inside. It must manifest itself on the outside in the way that you live day to day. So let me just ask you this. If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? It's a powerful question. It's a question that when I talk to business groups that I ask, but we're family, right? Look at your neighbor and say, we're family. I'm going to bring it home as family. This is how I'd say this to family. What dream has God placed in your heart that the world will miss out on if you never pursue it? What dream has God placed on your heart that the world will miss out on if you never pursue it? And I know what some of you are thinking right now, Kelly, yeah, that's a little strong. That the world would miss out on something that I could dream about? Kelly, come on. No? Listen to this. Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. I want to just point this out real quick. It says trust and do. When you believe, it has to have some action. Come on, amen. He says, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord and trust in Him, and He will help you. My grandma used to tell me when I was a little boy, and as I was stepping into ministry, Lord Kelly, when you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. But listen to this. When you delight yourself in the Lord, it's not about Him giving you stuff. It's about giving you what to desire. Because He will guide your heart to the things that bring you true joy, not that leave you empty. He will give you the desire for what you desire. And so that dream that God gave you, it's part of the purpose that He's called you to fulfill. Don't second guess that dream. It's a gift from the Lord. Believe He's given it to you for a reason and for a purpose. He's got plans for your life, and it's to make a difference. Back in 2001, I was at a pastor's conference at Saddleback Church in Mission Viejo, California. And as I was walking along, I saw this sign. Some of you guys have heard this story. And there was a man standing on top of a rock like this. And it said CR. And I had no idea what this was. I thought it was like a rock climbing small group. That's honestly what I thought. I did not know what Celebrate Recovery was. I had never heard about this. And so they started to tell me about this. I was a youth pastor in a very affluent community at the time. And as I heard about this amazing Christ-centered program to help people with their hurts, habits, and hangups, I thought, man, what a powerful ministry. I began to talk to my pastor about this. And my pastor said, "Yo, Kelly, that's a great program. It's just not who we are and what we're doing right now." I said, okay. But it never left me. I went on. I got my master's degree. I came back here at 11. I started doing private professional counseling. I started talking to people who had been living with addiction issues and generational cycle issues, and I began to think, man, I know we have some of the other programs out there, but we need something that's based in Jesus. What about Celebrate Recovery? It came to my mind again, and I realized that God was doing something. And so I began to talk to the people because Celebrate Recovery had been started and stopped in this community for 8 years. Some of you guys were a part of some of those programs. And this isn't a criticism on those programs. This is just what God led us to. So I began to have open discussions. Well, what happened? Why did it fail? Why did you guys stop? If it was so great, everybody loved it, why did we stop? We talked about not having the resources. We talked about not having the time. And we talked about how hard it was to keep leaders motivated because Celebrate Recovery is very expensive and it's a very hard ministry. And talked about how to get the church involved. And so I started taking notes. And I did not even know at the time that one day I would be pastoring a church. But God put this thing in me. He began to develop this vision for what could be. And then when we started church, whenever we realized that, hey, we're going to be a church in Lebanon, Missouri, in the Clee County, and have you not heard that we've got a drug problem. And instead of hiring a worship pastor or a children's pastor, which is what everyone tells you to do, we hired a Celebrate Recovery pastor because it was time to do something about the problem here. And we changed what we did on Wednesday nights so we could reach people where they were at, so we connect Christian people who found freedom in Jesus Christ with people who've been bound up and tied up for so long that they don't even know freedom is possible. And look what God has done. We lead one of the largest Celebrate Recoveries in the state of Missouri. We don't even just have it. We launch other groups from our group. God has been so good. He's given a dream, and we're seeing it happen. But here's the thing. You will never make progress on the dreams that God has placed in your heart unless you take that step of faith. There's really no argument there. You can't make progress towards anything in life unless you're willing to take the steps that's necessary to get there. Abram had to sacrifice what was comfortable in order to gain what was impossible. He had all kinds of blessings and family and financial ties in Haran, but if he stayed in Haran, he would never get the blessing that God said he could have in Canaan land. He had to step away from that. He had to pursue a greater vision. When we're talking about this, well, there's a saying that we like to say, and it's this, it's go big or go home. Go big. God wants you to pursue great things. In fact, we believe here at LifePoint that we're called to do the impossible. That what God's called us to is not something we can do on our own. It's going to take His working in our lives to do something bigger than we ever dreamed or imagined. When we say these kind of things, it carries with this idea of abandon, of being relentless. And it takes faith to pursue these things. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. When we started this thing, when we started deciding if we're going to be a church, one of my very, very good friends said, "Kelly, the last thing the Clee County needs is another church." He said, "We have 85 as it is. We don't need another one." And you know what? He was right. We didn't and we don't need another church. But we do need to see marriages saved, families restored, addicts set free, businesses prospering, the lost being found. We need to see lives changing, light being shined in the darkness. We need to see our kids and our teenagers being empowered to be the church right now, to be world changers right now. The Clee County needs to see the church stand up and be the church and start leading people to Jesus, because Jesus brings life, and He's the only source of life, the only source of hope that we have. That's what the world needs. We want to make it hard to go to hell from the Lake Clee County, amen? Amen? We want people to see the hope that we have. That's not my vision, that's our vision. We want to give glory to God and love as many people to Jesus as we can before we die, period. And that's not just something we say or put on the wall. That's what we do, it's how we live. We can all agree that God's calling us to go big, but here's the deal. Eventually, when you take that step, the rubber does meet the road. Eventually, when you take that step, you deal with the facts of life, and you start to deal fear. It can be scary. Faith, while you're waiting, can seem impossible. We get distracted, we blow it, we get tired, we count the cost and wonder how it's even possible. It gets daunting, it feels like there's just no other way. Instead of going big, you just want to go. No thanks, God, I've got plenty of things to do. I know you're calling me, but I just don't have the time. God, I know you're calling me to serve, but I just don't know enough. I mean, I just don't think I'm ready. God, I know you're calling me to give sacrificially. God, I know you're calling me to tithe, but I just don't think there's going to be enough. God, I hear you, but I don't want to look foolish. I don't want to fail. I get it. Fear is tough. Fear is often what keeps us from taking the steps that God has called us to. It is what keeps us from growing and knowing Him like we desire, like He desires. Fear drives our doubt. It holds us back. Fear keeps us from the faith that will set us free, and we all deal with it. It's one of our enemy's strongest weapons. You will face fear in one way or another. It's just the way it is. But as you do, I want you to know God is calling you to go big. But as you're taking those steps of faith, you have to remember when you go big, you need to add your faith so that you never forget that God's bigger than our fear. God's bigger than the things that have held us back. God's bigger than our failure. God's bigger. Abram, who had been waiting for so long, he had to remember that God was bigger than his age. To David, who had been looked over, he was left in the field when they looked for another king. He had to believe that God was bigger than his father looking him over. To Saul, who had waged a holy war against the church, who was called to reach the world, he had to believe that God was bigger than his past failure. To Mary, who was poor, young, and single, but God said, you're going to carry the message of the gospel into the world. She had to believe that God was bigger. To the disciples, who had been told that they were second rate and not good enough to teach the word of God, they had to believe that God was bigger when God created the thing called the church that is still rocking this world to today. They had to believe that God was bigger. There was a moment in their experience where they had to be willing to say yes, to take that step without knowing what would happen, to trust in who God was before they knew what the outcome would be. But the reality is that fear is so strong that it keeps us from getting into that mindset. It keeps us from wrapping our hearts around our faith. So your current mindset comes from your past. Past experience, past education, past association. And this is the way you beat it. And I'm going to get through this really quick. Number one, you need to pray for a new experience. You need to pursue new education. You need to position yourself for new associations. See, prayer is a precipitating event. It begins with a conversation with God that leads to direction for man. We need to pursue that. We need to seek Him, pray for Him, pray for a deeper experience. Education is a process of systematic education where we learn things. You need to look what you're feeding into your mind. You need to look at what you're pursuing to learn things with. You need to study God's word so you can understand His promises. You need to listen to testimonies and teaching that would inspire your faith. And this is one of the big ones. It's your associations. You need to surround yourself with people who have or are growing in or pursuing faith. Which means you probably, if you have negative people in your life, you need to put some distance there. Surround yourself with people who lift you up, who will get behind you and inspire you. And if you're not that kind of person, become that kind of person. Become that man. Become that woman that God is calling you to be. No one stumbles upon significance. They always do it intentionally, making their lives matter because of the choices they make. But the most important thing you can do, the most important choice you can make is to get your heart right with Jesus. Get connected to Christ. In fact, that's why some of you are here today. That's why some of you are hearing this message right now. You have been running from Him. God has drawn you to Him. This is not an accident. And right now He's saying, just trust me. For some of us, it's for that first step of salvation. For some, it's a step that just comes back home. He's saying, just trust me. I have good things for you. Whatever He's calling you to today, take that step. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you've given us so many good things, so many great things in our lives. Lord, I pray right now that your hand would forever be upon us. God, that you would work and guide and direct us. God, that you would stir something within us so that we could overcome the fear that chokes our faith. God, this morning, there's somebody who needs to make a decision for Christ, just like we had first service. I pray that they would come forward right here to this service and just have a conversation with the pastor. Maybe someone needs to, Father, have a moment of coming home. They've known you, but they've strayed. It's time to make a new decision, to go a new direction. God, I pray that you would guide them right up here so that you could change their life from this moment on. Lord, we praise you. We love you, Jesus. We pray. Amen. Grace and peace.
Thank you so much for joining us today for the LifePoint Podcast. To find out more information or to make a financial contribution, you can visit our website at lifepointlebanon.com or download our mobile app available on all platforms. Stay up to date by following us on social media. You can find links at our website. Welcome home.